Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. So, I just got back from Hawaii a few days ago, and I'll talk about that soon. So I got back a few days ago, I worked a shift, but I'm not working too much because it's slow, it's January. So now I'm doing two markets a week. For some strange reason, my body's now used to everything. I guess it does take about 6 months for patterns to sink in. So now everything seems a bit less stressful, possibly. Like, yes, I'm still doing all the same things and now I'm doing more of it, but it's more manageable. So I swore all morning that I would record, but I was busy doing all these other things. So now I'm adding on special baked goods at different markets. So like today, I made these creme brulee cream puffs. I made this really good custard filling. I dipped the cream puffs in caramel. So it's like a hard caramel. And then I also made a fresh donut bread pudding using my crullers as donuts. But I'm going to bring the whole thing, you know, and kind of show it. Maybe that would sell more. I also made a marzipan blueberry cake, you know, adding a German spin. And I also made these little cupcakes. So I'm just trying to add on new things. So yesterday, I went to a body pump class and it was amazing. Like the vibe was so good. It was such a difficult class. They changed the workout, which they do every, I want to say 3 months. And it was really, really difficult. People were excited to be there. And then every class, there's this woman in the back. And I think maybe she was with the army. I don't know. But every time she's always like in the background being like, whoo, whoo, or like one, two, three, one, two, three. And she's always talking, like no matter what. Yesterday, the whole class, you know, after we did our squats, for example, afterwards, everybody like clapped and cheered, you know, and it was a really positive attitude. And it was exciting. Like it was cool to be there. So I've been going to all these doctors. And since I've been back, it's only been like 4 days, and I've had two separate doctor visits. So yesterday I went to my doctor, who also is my gynecologist. And, you know, I'm not going to get like crazy into this. I'm just saying she gave me all my results for the other doctors that I went to. Apparently, in my back, I have arthritis, which not good. But it comes from all these years of working and standing in the kitchen. And yeah, my body is like, hell no. So that's why I've been waking up with just kind of back spasms every morning. You know, I stretch and then I'm good for the day. But it's not like I'm changing my lifestyle. You know, I'm still in the kitchen. I'm still doing the same thing. So, the way things develop, does it get better? So anyway, the doctor was saying that the remedy for this is continue working out, which I've been doing. And I do notice it does help. You know, after I do a class of body pump, let's say, I do feel good. I have less pain that night because it starts when I'm sleeping. And then throughout the night, sometimes I'll wake up and my back will completely be stiff. I have to use my arm to turn onto my side. Like it just hurts too much in my back. And I want to say this has happened in the last 6 months. You know, at first I thought it was the mattress, but no, it's the arthritis in my back. So definitely getting older. And it's just like the industry, you know, like it's rough on your body for sure. So yeah, the remedy for that is working out and swimming. And I have to look into yoga, which I'm fine with. I did it before. Yeah, I'll look into that. And then she did the exam on me. You know, she turned into gynecologist, and which is great. You know, I don't have to go to a different place. And I prefer having a woman doctor for a gynecologist. Anyway, she was like in there looking for my cervix. Apparently, it was off to the side, like 60 degrees over to the right. And I didn't even know that could happen. Like, did you know that? I thought it was just like when you look at diagrams and pictures, you know, you just look at it and it's there, right? Like if you look at anatomy of the woman. And I said, is that normal? Like, I've never heard that before, first of all. And I've never heard anybody say that about my cervix. So what she said is, as you age, the cervix moves. And I'm like, great. Like, is that something I wanted to hear? Like, I said, does that have any side effects for it being 60 degrees to the right? She's like, no, it's just changes in the body. I'm like, great. So I was also tested for T3. I had to do a separate blood test because in my blood test, it showed up that I have a low T3 count. So in your thyroid, T3 is connected to your thyroid. There's T2 and T3. I believe this is correct. Or is it T3, T4? Maybe. Maybe it's all three. I don't even know. But all I know is I was low on T3. So anyway, they did a separate blood test. And it turns out I'm at 3. Like there's between 2 and 4 is normal. I'm at 3. But even though she said it's still on the low side, so I have to get retested. My thyroid's slow, which is no surprise. Like I'm gaining weight. And apparently that also is due to perimenopause. This is sounding like not good. Apparently when you hit 45, everything changes. So yeah, so now I have to like be more intense about my body. And it's so freaking easy to gain weight. My hormones are changing. My cervix is off to the right. It's disturbing, you know? And anyway, I had such a great vacation. Then I come back and then I have all this news. And I don't know. It was kind of like, wow. Like, really? Like at 45, that's when everything changes. There's that. And then I have to have a colonoscopy. I've never had one before. So typically when you're 45, that's when you start. You're supposed to have one every 10 years. And if you have had someone in your family that had cancer in their colon, then you're supposed to have it every 5 years. I went to the digestive doctor, right? Is that his title? I don't know. But he was very enthusiastic about his job, which was great. Like, I love people who are excited about what they do. He said he's done over 20,000 colonoscopies and he's still excited. And he was telling me everything about the colon, including that basically I have to take this solution the night before my colonoscopy and the morning of, like a few hours before. And basically it cleans me out. I will be sedated, like it's not surgery, but I will be asleep. They go in there, you know, in your backside, they go in there with a camera and they go through your colon and basically when it's cleaned out, they look for polyps, lesions. He was saying that typically a polyp takes 10 years to grow. And then what they do is when they see one, they burn it or they cut it, and either or, depending on, I don't know. it's not my occupation. And then they do a biopsy to see if it's cancerous, you know, benign or not. So he was telling me everything and I said, well, should I be sedated or not? Because he said you can have an option. For some people, it's painful, but there are no nerves in the colon. So you don't really feel it. You just feel pressure and it might be uncomfortable. And depending on people's diet, like let's say you have constipation, it's going to be uncomfortable, you know, because it's not all cleaned out. So that's great. I mean, I juice, I eat pretty well. I'm hoping mine's going to be clean. I bet you didn't think that you'd be hearing about the body like this, right? But nobody talks about it. Like, I never hear people talk about it. And isn't this important? Like, this is important. So he's saying it takes 10 years for a polyp to grow. You can have polyps that grow very fast. The thing is, you'll know, like, let's say the polyp opens and, you know, there's blood in your stool. Like, that's why you're always supposed to check. Okay. And then if you see that, you have to go back to the doctor. So he was saying that the worst things that create cancer and polyps in your colon, number one, alcohol. Number two, red meat. Hello, Brazilian barbecues. And number three, smoking. So I don't really do any of these. You know, yes, more red meat this past year than ever before, but I'm not even into that, you know? It's just like, it's not my thing. I thought that was interesting, you know, because people don't really talk about that. Like, and a lot of people die of colon cancer. So it's the number one cancer that is the most preventable, because the polyps take about 10 years. You have time, you know, unless it's like, yes, you can get polyps faster, but most of the time they take 10 years to grow fully. And let's say you don't do anything and they grow full size, then there can be blockages, like just horrible things. So it's important to get it checked. And because I have insurance now, like, it's covered, so that's awesome. So anyway, I have to take this solution the night before, and basically I'll just be like tied to the bathroom, probably. And then the next morning, someone has to bring me to the doctor. I will be sedated. They check everything. And then that's it. I can't work the rest of the day. Like, that's what they say, because I'm under the influence of the sedation. So that's coming up. Yay. Yay for 45. That's all I want to say. And last episode, I was talking about, you know, like having a child, possibly. Like, does any of this make sense? No, like nothing makes sense. And then what's coming up? The inauguration. Oh, I'm so not excited. But okay, let's talk about Hawaii, the title of this episode. I was so excited to go on vacation. This is pretty much the first vacation my husband and I went on together. We went camping before, but this is, I would say, the first one. We're not sleeping in a van. Like, we got Airbnb. We got to the San Diego airport. Everything was moving pretty fast. We fly from San Diego to LA, LAX. And as I'm flying over LA, everything was fine. You know, so we flew to Hawaii on a Monday and the fires started on Tuesday. So I'm flying over LA. Everything's great. No problem. So we switch from LAX and from there we fly Delta directly to Kona on the Big Island. We arrive at night, and once you arrive in Hawaii, you always end up on the tarmac. There's no like inside gate because the airport is open. It's always warm there, you know, so you've got like coverage. Let's say it rains, but there's walls with doors inside the airport. But when you're in the airport, there's no roof. It's open. And you're like, oh, we're in Hawaii, you know. So we get our bags. That's out in the open too. And then we get a shuttle to rent a car. I ordered it with Thrifty because I am thrifty, and they did have the best deals. And I order like a Ford, you know, nothing crazy because the roads there are good. Like, we're not going to do anything crazy. But apparently they were out of Ford and any compact car. So they said we have a minivan available or a Suburban. And I'm like, about to say minivan, but my husband says suburban. And then the lady behind the counter, she says, well, suburban has a higher mileage than a minivan. And I said, that's true. Let's go with a minivan. And he's like, no, let's get the suburban. I'm like, okay. So we get the suburban. It's huge. It's a nice car, but it's huge. We're in the two front seats, and it's for the same price because I booked for, you know, the Ford. So I didn't pay any more. It was for the same price, which that was pretty crazy. And I'm in the Suburban, and I look behind me, and there's two rows of seats, you know, and they were pretty much empty the whole time. Like, okay, like this car is ridiculously huge. And Hawaii's roads are not very big. The parking spots are not very big. So, okay. But I wasn't the one driving. So we picked the Suburban. Everything's nighttime. It's hard to see anything. You know, when you arrive at nighttime, you don't really know what's going on so much. But we were hungry. There's a Texaco gas station, which in Brazilian is Texaco, which I learned. And there was a Hawaiian barbecue. So that was our first meal. And we're pretty hungry because we didn't get anything on the flight. The flight was about 6 hours. And from San Diego to LA was 28 minutes. Longer than I thought, but 28, okay. So I ordered chicken katsu, which is basically breaded chicken with this like kind of barbecue sauce. And it was good, and it comes with sides. So you get rice and macaroni salad, which was funny because my husband was very excited about all these carbs. Because in Brazil, you know, you have like rice, potato salad, just all the carbs, okay? Bread, like everything in one meal. And here they do the two carbs, the rice, macaroni salad. So he was excited about that. And he got short ribs. Okay, which he really enjoyed. And he had his white rice, so he was happy. So from there, first of all, we get water. So we're right by the Texaco station, Texaco. Okay. I'm like, okay, let's go get some water, you know, because we drink a lot of water. And you never know how the tap water is. So we decided to buy water. $10 for one bottle. It was a gallon bottle. But $10. So we got two. It was $20. Meanwhile, later in the trip, we went to Safeway and it was $5 for 3 gallons of water. So that gas station was crazy expensive. So the lady rings us up for the water and she says, oh shit. And I'm like, what? What's going on? And I look at the price and I'm like, oh shit. Like, that's what she was saying shit about. I didn't know. So even the lady behind the counter working for the gas station is like, oh, shit. She's like, you still want to buy that? Like, she's not even proactive on making money for the gas station. She's like, everything in this store is expensive. I would get it somewhere else. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. We'll get it now. So then we find the Airbnb. So the reason we got an Airbnb, all the resorts, like most, they're not just hotels in Hawaii, they're resorts. So when I looked up, they were between $200 and $400 a night. Even though I work for Hilton, you know, it wasn't cheaper. It was all like a high rate. So we decided to look into Airbnbs and it was about, I think like $130, $150 a night, which is still not cheap, but compared to $300 a night, I thought was pretty good. So this Airbnb was a little bit hard to find because it's condo and I didn't have the instructions on my phone to find it. It was on my husband's phone and I didn't have all the details. But what I read was nothing made sense, you know, so we contacted the Airbnb person who luckily lived right next door. And she came down, but she wasn't very happy about it. She gave us the key. I apologized, you know, but she kind of had some attitude and was like, the entrance is on the other side where the elevator is. But she wasn't very precise about where the elevator was. So we were just walking around weirdly in the dark, trying to figure out where the entrance was. Luckily, we found it, but we were kind of annoyed, like, wow, this person has like attitude. And she was saying that we didn't look well enough on the website to see all the instructions. Could have been the case, but, you know, I don't know. We found the elevator, got to the Airbnb. Everything was nice, you know, decent, had a kitchen, bathroom, king size bed, and a patio outside. We were on the sixth floor. Basically, we were just tired. So we slept. The bed was nice, so we slept really well. And actually, I had like a little bit more back pain, you know, so I woke up a few times. So Hawaii is 2 hours behind of California. So I woke up really early there. I woke up like 2 a.m., which would be 4 a.m. here. I wake up at 4 a.m. a lot. I decided, okay, I'm gonna watch the sunrise. And my husband's still asleep. You know, I'm like, it's okay. I'm just gonna go find the sunrise. I thought the beach was closer than it was. It wasn't. So here I am, like kind of in the dark, about to get light. And I'm trying to find the beach. So in Hawaii, if you're not with a resort, it's not like there are all these beaches. Most of the shoreline is just rocky lava rocks. It's just rocky lava. So it's not like I was looking for like a beach, but I was trying to figure out how to get to the water. I had to go downstairs along the road, down these alleyways. Anyway, it was like 3 blocks down, not super far, but I thought I was closer. So I'm like, oh, I'm glad my husband didn't go because he'd probably just be like shaking his head. And I finally get to the water. I sit on a lava rock and the waves are crazy. And it just smelled like this amazing tropical smell of salt and green lush palm tree. The grass there was very like thick and it almost looked fake. It was such perfect grass. There are all these like pretty birds, like these yellow birds, and all these like little birds on the ground too, like picking at the grass. And then right next to that, you've got these lava rocks with the waves just clashing against the rocks. It was beautiful. You know, this wind, like I'm just enjoying it and just sitting there. Come to realize the sun rises on the other side of the island. So all of a sudden it was just light. Like I never saw the sun. And also it was cloudy. So I'm like, oh, okay, that was the sunrise. And I walked back. I go back to the condo and I look at my Wi-Fi and I see everything that's going on in LA because now it's Tuesday. And yesterday, like the Monday, everything was fine in LA. And then that Tuesday, the whole city's on fire. Crazy winds. And in that moment, I felt so lucky, you know, that I was in San Diego and not in LA. That was just kind of like the headline the whole time, you know, is what's happening in LA that day. We watch the news and we see all that. And then on the news, there's that whole episode with Trump talking about expanding America to Greenland and to Panama. And I'm like, oh no, like it's already starting and he's not even president yet. Like, ugh, so stupid. And then I see on the news how Germany's reacting to what he said and that Greenland is property of Denmark and that if the U.S. uses force, then Europe will too. And just like, what's going to happen really these next 4 years? Like, I don't see this in a positive way. Great. So anyway, we decide that we're going to go get something to eat and then have a beach day. The problem was finding an actual beach. So that day was high surf. The waves were huge, but the water was like such a nice temperature. It wasn't cold. It was like really nice. And the air was warm too, like kind of humid. My hair was getting all curly. It's like when you went out of the beach onto the sand, you didn't need a towel because it wasn't cold. It was just perfect. So first off, we find a cafe I get pancakes with like eggs because I'm like, oh, breakfast. My husband gets fried fish. I think he gets mahi-mahi with rice. And I think it came with macaroni salad as well. You know, I wouldn't think to have fried fish for breakfast, but honestly, the fish in Hawaii, this was like another level. Everything was so fresh. It was delicious. And I tried some and I'm thinking, wow, like I shouldn't have gotten pancakes. Like the fish was just amazing. So from that point on, pretty much every day we had fish. Like they catch it that day and then they get it to restaurants the same day. Like it's never frozen. So just the quality of the fish is very, very soft and juicy and perfect. Like, I don't think I've ever had fish like this cooked. You know, I've had amazing fish in Japan. Like, that was the next level for me. But Hawaii is on the same level, you know, and maybe not Honolulu, like maybe not on this level because there's way more population. But on the Big Island, it was amazing. So we had breakfast, and then next to that is a Kona coffee store. So Kona coffee is special only to Kona, Hawaii. Like Kona is the city, the town. The coffee is mild, like it's not acidic, and it just has a really pleasant flavor. It's not over roasted. It typically has like a medium roast, but the coffee was just so good. So I had a cappuccino. And from that point on, we drove on the Kona side, like past Kona, past the airport, trying to find a beach. Like on my maps, I see these different beaches, but they're not all accessible. So first off, there's this harbor. We go there and there's people fishing. And then we see this national park and it's like not advertised. It's kind of just like no one knows about it in the background. And it's the original place where Native Hawaiians came, you know, they had like these little huts there. They were like straw huts. And this is where they lived. This is one of the areas. And it was a beautiful beach. You could swim there, but we didn't think of that. We just saw it, you know, and it was beautiful. And some people were swimming there, but other people were taking pictures. It wasn't crowded at all. It was still very early. We leave there, and of course the water's perfect, but we leave there and we go to this other beach, so blue, the most amazing blue, beautiful. But the thing is, there's no swimming because the waves are so strong and it's a rocky coast. Like there's some sand, so you could just lay there. And I'm not a beach layer, you know, I just get burned, so I don't see the point in it. We stayed there maybe 40 minutes. I walked around and my husband was on the phone speaking Portuguese the whole time, like calling friends, you know, and there's volcanic rock everywhere, like lava. The word of the day was lava de vulcão, which is volcanic lava in Portuguese. So that's all I was hearing, like lava de vulcão, lava de vulcão. So, and he was calling like five different people. I don't know. As you go off to the right, like there was this path, there was just this huge, all you can see volcanic lava rocks. Like you can't really walk on it, but it looked crazy, like pretty amazing. Because in the distance, you can see the volcano, which before Christmas, it was active. But at this point, it stopped being active. But when you look on a map of Hawaii, of the Big Island, it shows you all the different years of the eruption. So this volcano on the Big Island is the only current active one of all the Hawaiian islands, which is why I wanted to go, because I thought it was cool. Like, obviously, all the Hawaiian islands are volcanic, but this is the only active one. The others are dormant. So I really wanted to see the fresh lava, but we didn't because it wasn't active at that point. So I want to swim, you know, and I can't swim on this beach. So we leave this beach and we drive a little further out until we see these resorts. And there's a Hilton, there's a Marriott, there's this huge shopping mall. Like all of a sudden, just in the middle of nowhere, this big resort was built. And next to that was the most beautiful beach, like sand, palm trees, some volcanic rock. But the water was so light blue, it was perfect. Finally, I found a place to swim and it was amazing. Deeper in the water, there's a bunch of coral. And I was trying to look underneath, but I didn't have like snorkel set. But it was just like such an amazing feeling to be there and to see this perfect blue water. Like you can't compare it to California. Like, yes, there's some beautiful areas in California with water, but I've never seen water this clear. Like it's very clear, very blue, and just beautiful. Like, and here on this beach, there were all tourists. It was amazing. So we stayed there probably a couple hours, just enjoying the water, sitting there. After that, we decided to drive back closer to town because we were about 40 minutes out. And then my husband says he wants to see how the locals live, like up the mountain. So all the tourist stuff is typically on the water. And then further up the volcano, like on the side, that's where all the natives live. So he wanted to see just how they live in the houses. They're very nice. You know, everything there is on stilts because of the weather. So all the houses are higher. Like nothing has a foundation. It's not built on the ground. And then there we found a fruit market and I got the most perfect papaya. I was super excited about that. We got like four papayas. I got these tiny bananas. If ever you go to Hawaii and you see tiny bananas, just buy them. The flavor is so much better. They're firm in a delicious way. You know how bananas just can get a bit mushy? Like these bananas were perfect. And everything was ripe. Like you don't have to wait for anything to ripen. You can just eat these papayas right there. And just the flavor is so much more intense, floral. Like here, papaya tastes good, but you have to wait for it to ripen. So the flavor isn't as deep, you know, but when you go to these tropical countries, it tastes the way it should be because it's picked when it has been ripened. I just love tropical fruits. That's one of my favorite things. So from there, we decide to drive back to our condo and like we shower and everything just because we went to the beach. We see, oh, like we got a little more sun than expected. I put a lot of sun cream on, so I was not too crazy, like my back a little bit. But my husband felt very confident and just, he didn't use sun cream. So he got very red. We decide, okay, let's go out to dinner. There's this beautiful restaurant right on the water in Kona and it's open. You know, a lot of these restaurants are just open because it doesn't really get cold. We get this table right across from the water, perfect view. We get calamari to start. I swear, this is the most delicious calamari I've ever had. Like, I like calamari, but this was very different. It was more flat other than rings. You know, it didn't have rings, but it was very flat and like cut, you know, into these diamonds, if you will. It was breaded, but it was so, so soft. It was probably like soaked in something, but even so, you know, usually you soak it in milk, but even so, this was super tender. It was delicious. And we loved that. I got a virgin pina colada, my husband got beer. And for dinner, I got a macadamia encrusted mahi, which was delicious. My husband got Ono, I think, over risotto. And this risotto was so flavorful. It had cheese, wine, like all the usual things, but it was delicious. And then for dessert, we had a lilikoi, which is another word for passion fruit, cheesecake. I was a little bit critical. I liked the smoothness of the actual cheesecake, but I didn't like the crust. It tasted pre-bought, like a pre-bought cookie, just like mashed down. And it was a bit too soft. It wasn't crunchy. It was just too sweet. On top, there was a gelée, but it was a bit too sour that it was overpowering the passion fruit flavor of the cheesecake, which is also passion fruit, but it was just a bit too much. And of course, I'm critical about dessert, right? Like, of course. But overall, it was good. The whole meal was delicious. The highlight was for sure the calamari. And then the next day, my husband wanted to go fishing. So he got fishing gear. And I decided I wanted to go to the farmer's market. So when he got fishing stuff, he dropped me off at the farmer's market. And it was perfect. I got all these delicious tropical fruits. Mangosteen was one. I don't know if you've ever tried it. It's very healthy. Supposedly, it's anti-cancer causing. It lowers blood pressure. Great if you have diabetes. It's this purple little fruit. And you peel it open with your hands gently. And inside, it has this white center in these little segments. They're a little bit slimy, like not in a bad way. And it tastes like this perfect blend of lychee, banana, pineapple. Like, it's not mushy like banana. It just is juicy and delicious. I loved it. Like, had I known how good it would taste, I probably would have gotten more. But I had never tried it before. And I've never seen it in the U.S. But this fruit was expensive. You know, when I went to Costa Rica or Peru, obviously everything was cheap. But this tropical fruit was expensive. I spent over $60 just on fruit. It would still be cheaper than here because everything's imported. I got passion fruit, like six, I think. I got two mangosteen. I got a young coconut from which I had the juice. I got this beautiful avocado, like the biggest avocado I've ever seen. And everything just smelled so ripe. Oh, I got star fruit, super ripe and delicious, very sweet. I only know it here as being sour, but there it was perfect. I got rambutan, which is lychee. And then I came across these German tourists, and I heard them speaking German saying, I don't know what any of this is. And they looked at, I think, the star fruit. They didn't know what it was. And then her husband or boyfriend said, do you even know how to eat it? And she's like, no. And then I said in German, you can eat everything. You don't have to peel off the skin. You can just eat it like that. It's delicious. And then she's like, oh, okay, thank you. You know, in German, I'm helpful, right, when I hear Germans. Rodolfo came back. He picked me up and he decided he wanted to go fishing. So we went close to this pier, which is where we ate the previous night. And the water was so, so clear. You could see the fish swimming in the water below. It was so clear. So he started fishing, and then I started to walk and just take my time. You know, I'm fine just doing things. I looked at the water, like the ocean waves were perfect, and these huge waves. People were swimming. Like, it was just this beautiful day. On my other side, there were all these like little touristy shops. And I was enjoying walking there. And then my husband calls saying, can you get me shrimp? I'm like, what? Like, there wasn't a grocery store. This was like a tourist area. And he had the car, the Suburban. I said, what do you mean? He said, someone told me I needed to fish with real shrimp, you know, because he got artificial. I said, okay, let me go into some restaurants and ask. And I asked the place where we ate last night. And then they said they actually don't have anything. This was at noon or 11, something like that. And they said they don't get their seafood, the fresh fish of the day, until between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. And then they use it right away. So that's how fresh it was every single day. And it tasted amazing. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to complain about that, right? And all these restaurants, they did the same. I called him back saying, no. They don't have. Anyway, he gave up a little bit and he said, you know, he'd had enough because he couldn't get any. Like, they were all, he could see the fish. They were right there. They were attracted to the shimmer of the artificial fish, but then they didn't snap on. You know, they didn't want it. Obviously, it's artificial. But I guess it works for some people. Otherwise, they wouldn't make it, right? Like, I don't know. After that, we decided to go. I mean, I wanted to go to a coffee farm. We checked out of the current Airbnb we were staying at, and that night we were to go to another Airbnb on the other side of Hawaii. which is called Hilo. And it's actually like 40 minutes past Hilo, further down in a very secluded area, which we didn't know right away. We decided, okay, let's drive during the day. On the way, we stopped at a coffee farm. It was called Mountain Coffee Farm. And it was up toward the mountain, like obviously Mountain Coffee Farm. So far at this point, we'd been around the beach, you know, and the flat side, but this was up the mountain. And all of a sudden, everything got super tropical. You know, the forest, like this jungle started. It was very dense. There were live chicken roaming around everywhere. And Hawaii is crazy because there's no predators. All the predators are in the ocean. You know, you have shark, you have manta rays, but there's nothing on land, like anything crazy. They don't have crazy snakes. So all these chicken, they spread super fast and they're just roaming around. Like there's hens and roosters just walking around. We stop at the coffee farm. They have this beautiful land like down the hill with just these coffee trees. Coffee are berries. So they have these little red berries. And he was guiding us through the whole process. And they have these different templates for different sizes of coffee bean. So at first they have this smaller template. And whatever goes through there, whatever beans, whatever size you have left, they put it through these templates. So the smallest one, they give that to other companies and they actually use it in soaps and makeup. They use it in skincare products. And then the next size up, they use it in a dark roast because the flavor is good, but it's not as intense as the largest coffee bean, which they call the pea berry. Now, the pea berry has the highest amount of caffeine. I actually got these pea berry coffee beans dipped in chocolate. They're so, so good, but you can only eat up to four because if you eat more, you won't go to sleep. I don't know. I haven't had more than four, but they're really, really good, like crunchy as coffee beans are. They've been roasted. And then just this chocolate around it is a really good combination. So he talks us all through the steps. There's like a group of six maybe. And then we go into this tiny little factory they have. And he talks us through the machinery. Like all the coffee has been cleaned and there's the first machine. And it's a similar process to cacao, both fermented. But they actually show us this machine. So instead of nowadays going through these templates and sizing everything, which takes forever, it actually goes through, it's like a Japanese machine. It sees everything and it takes all the different sizes and puts them all together as one, which saves so much time. And this company also takes other smaller coffee growers' beans and uses them in their dark roast coffee. So they don't waste anything. And not all coffee farms have this machinery, you know, so it's another way for them to make money. From there, we drove to Hilo. There's two ways you can go. You can go around the beach, one side of the island to the next, or you can go kind of through the island, through the two volcanoes. We decided to go through the island, through the volcanoes. Very, very interesting landscape, like just fields of lava, basically. And then on both sides, you see these volcanoes, very large. It took us like about 2.5 hours, because once we got to Hilo, and the other side is completely different, like just with everything, with structures of how they build, everything looked a little bit older, more city, still very small, but a lot more native population. So then we got stuck in traffic a little bit, but we noticed that we were in a very secluded space because there were no grocery stores. Like everything kept getting less and less and less. And then we were just in jungle. Like there was literally nothing. So we found our Airbnb, which was this cute little like hut. Like there's this big kind of hut house. From the deck, there's these different passages that lead to the other huts, and they're all different Airbnbs, you know, but it's one big property. And we have our little hut So the kitchen is outside. It's like, you know those doors you have where the washer and dryer is behind that you pull open sometimes in houses? It was like that. You pull it open and there's a kitchen, like very small, but everything's there. You've got a mini fridge, like this mini sink. You've got this like stovetop. Everything was there, a microwave. And this is the outside kitchen. And then you have these double doors of windows. And then that's our bedroom. And it was very nice layout. From the bedroom, you've got a shower, like a big bathroom. And it was super cute. Like it was, everything was set to enjoy the outdoors. You know, so this is because we were so secluded, this was a place where we cooked a lot. You know, we got things for dinner. Like for the first night, we found this little, I wouldn't say restaurant, but they cooked things at a sort of cafe. And we asked them if they had any leftover fish. And they said, yes, we had fish from like yesterday. So we bought that off of them. And then back at our place, the outdoor kitchen, we cooked this fish. We made this pasta. We got this boursin cheese, you know, the garlic one. It's that creamy garlic flavor. I melted it into the pasta to make this pasta sauce with some wine. And it was really good. Like everything came out really good and the fish was fresh. Like it was pretty cool. And we sat like outside, you know, because there's this deck and you're sitting there and you have a view of the water and the moon was right there. I mean, it was pretty awesome. And this side of the island, it rained a lot. Like you would just start for 10 minutes, stop. 30 minutes later, it would start for a few minutes, stop. Like it was very, very tropical. And then that night, we also went by a black sand beach. Like I wanted to see what was kind of around our Airbnb. So you could walk past this road onto this kind of rocky shoreline, but there were cliffs. So you could find a passage and kind of hike down to the beach. But on this side we were on, it was just cliffs and the view was amazing of all this like cliff shoreline, you know, and the sun was like starting to set. What do? Like I slip. I have these like sneakers on, but they don't have great grip. And we were walking through like this kind of forest and there were all these little, I don't even know what to call them, but they weren't berries, but they were kind of dried balls. I think from trees, something that fell. And I was walking downhill and because of these balls, I slipped and I fall on my hand. Like kind of the meaty part of the inner hand. And I got this horrible bruise on my hand and it really hurt. After that, we walked down to the black sand beach, which was right next to the coast with the cliffs. It was kind of a hike down and I was a bit nervous because I just had fallen with my slippery shoes. So I took it slow and then we're almost there. And I see naked men. Like this was a locals beach, you know, so not everyone was nude, but a lot of people, especially the men, there were old men, mainly like very, very hairy men. And I get to the bottom. I'm like, okay, they're naked. And then my husband's telling me to be careful when I'm taking pictures. You know, not to take pictures of naked people, I guess. So this beach was so beautiful. The black sand comes from the lava, obviously, and the waves were crazy and people were just running into the water. You had to time it well because the wave was so big when you wanted to walk in, you know, otherwise it would totally smack you. Like it was powerful. People were running in after the big wave and then quickly go in just in time for the next wave to like sweep you up and not push you away. But this water was so beautiful and just the light, like the sun was setting and then this beautiful light with the black sand. It was crazy. We didn't go swimming that day, but we swore that we would go the next day. So we get back to the Airbnb. We had our self-made dinner, which was fish with the pasta and the Ono. And that night we slept so well. So the thing with this side of the island was that there's a lot of rain. So at night, there would be a lot of rain and the roofs were metal. So you could really hear the splattering of the rain. And it was so nice to sleep with. So the next morning, we made our breakfast. We sat outside a little bit and we decided to drive to two waterfalls. So it was about a 2-hour drive, but we drive up to Hilo. And then from there, we continue. And past Hilo were all these kind of different riverways with jungle entrances. And there were a lot of lava tubes on the way. So a lava tube is when you have an eruption and there's a lot of lava, once it cools, the ground sinks a little bit. And when that happens, you have these caves and nothing grows inside of them because there's no light. But because the island is volcanic, the volcanic soil like grows amazing plants and very tropical and thick forests. But inside, there's nothing. You know, so these lava tubes can be hundreds of years old and there's nothing that grew inside of there. So we stopped by these two different waterfalls. They were like 45 minutes apart. The first one,
Akaka Falls.
There was this trail. So we walked along the trail. You saw the waterfall, but you had to stick to the trail. You couldn't like get off or go to the waterfall. You just saw it from afar. So you were up kind of high and the water and everything was down below, but you couldn't get to it. And then we just continued on the path that was kind of gated off for us. But along the path, there were these beautiful plants and trees, like huge, huge trees. And it reminded me so much of Costa Rica and just the tropical jungles. It was beautiful. And that day it rained quite a bit. Like it was sunny, then it rained and it kind of stopped and started. But it rained so much sporadically that it's not like you could wait for it to stop and then do something. So we just, you know, went out and did our day.
After the Akaka Falls, we were closer to the other waterfall from that side. It was called the Umauma Waterfalls. It's a triple tier waterfall. It was spectacularly beautiful.
On the way back, we ate at a restaurant in Hilo
called Hilo Bay Cafe. It was kind of upscale, but it had stilts and you walked to the top and that's where the restaurant was. But as you were sitting there, you had the view of the bay overlooking Hilo. It was so pretty.
It was a seafood restaurant. I had a salad with butterfish, which was delicious, but I wanted more butterfish. The butterfish was kind of flaked and put a little bit all around the salad. And my husband had fish and chips, but again, all the fish was amazing.
And what I loved about the dining in Hawaii is that there's a lot of Japanese influences, which makes sense. You know, it's not far. Hawaii's in the middle of Japan and the US. But I loved that. It was so delicious.
And then below the restaurant, kind of next to it, was a seafood hut, if you will. Like it was only for seafood, and there was a long line, and they specialized in poke and all these different kinds of poke. Like you could have Hawaiian poke, you could have shoyu sauce poke. So it was just only tuna, but with different sauces or onions or jalapeno, you know, and you could get like a quarter pound of this, half a pound of that. So I decided to get some poke and try that. And we got a fresh Ono, I think. We ate so much Ono or mahi-mahi, like it was one or the other most of the time. So then we drove back. On the way back, we stopped at the Black Sand Beach. Like we brought everything in, we changed, and we hiked back down to the beach. And this time we went swimming.
And it was a perfect time. It was maybe like 4 p.m. The waves were giant. Of course, there were naked men everywhere, some women, and just like local families that spent the day at the beach. No lifeguard or anything like that. But this beach was known. This was a nice black sand beach that people knew about. And there was always lots of parking right next to it. So we were lucky enough to have our Airbnb just 5 minutes down the road. And this is a beach with the waves. If you want to get into the water, this is a water that you can't just slowly get into because the waves are so giant, like they'll suck you up. Once I waited for the big wave to pass, I pretty much ran in and quickly got scooped up, you know, by the wave, because I didn't want to just stand there because then it would kind of push me over, you know, so you kind of have to just jump in and let it take you, which is also kind of scary, you know, because what if there's a current or something like that? But luckily there wasn't, and there were other people in there. Some people were snorkeling, like some people went pretty far. But the thing about this beach was it wasn't shallow. So the minute you got into the water, I couldn't stand. You know, it was very deep, very fast, but the water was so clear. I didn't want to try and stand because the next wave was coming and just would wave over me. You know, they were that big. But me and my husband stayed in the water for a while. Like, he got out, I stayed in, just like floating around. He came back in, like, it was just such a nice time. We were probably there for like an hour and a half.
And as I was in there floating, like with other people, this guy is just naked and he's stretching, like facing the waves. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, just stretch away. Toward the end, this other swimmer said that her friend spotted a shark deeper into the water. And I'm like, that's not good. That is not a good thing to say.
And I couldn't get enough of the water. Like, it was so refreshing. It was cool, but pleasant, you know. Once I got out of the water, I didn't need a towel. Like, it was just nice. And then also, when I was in the water, it would rain sporadically, and it was so nice just to feel the rain when I was floating in the ocean. Like, it was so perfect. So this time, when we were done with the beach, we hiked back up, and there were all these jagged rocks, you know, but so many people go up and down that there are two paths. We went back to our outdoor kitchen and we cooked Ono, and this time we made some rice. We played cards and we went to bed at like 8 p.m. We went to bed so early and we slept till 7 a.m. We slept so long, but it was just so nice to not have to get up or do anything. And that night it rained a lot, like pretty much the whole time. So we didn't do much. Like, we made breakfast outside. We made eggs and English muffin. Later on, we drove to Hilo because my husband wanted to try fishing. And I went around town and tried different things. Like, there was this one shop, it was called Two Ladies Kitchen, and they made mochi. Like, they made strawberries, grapes, they made different fruit, and they wrapped them in a fresh mochi dough, which was really good. And there was a big line outside of it. And I had the same thing in Japan. In Japan, it was a bit more, like, less sweet. You just had the mochi skin, and it was perfect. It was thin. Here, it was thicker, and they put in this kind of a, like, sweet icing or something, or it was a bean curd. I think that was in there to kind of stick it all together. These were very good.
All the locals knew about this place, and there were lines. Like, this cable guy stopped to get something for him or whoever. Just people stopped, and they waited in line.
I got the mochi, then I went over to this plant-based ice cream place. They had a really good coconut rose ice cream, which was made with coconut milk. So I had a tiny scoop of that. Then I went over into the coffee store.
called Puna Chocolate Company.
I got a cappuccino and then I got some gifts for other people. Like they had 100% Hawaiian chocolate, and then they had all these different coffees. So Kona is the most recognizable and the most famous of Hawaiian coffees, but there's also
Kau, spelled K-A-U,
which is more of the volcanic region, like where the volcano is. And the coffee that's grown there is very, very chocolatey. It's like deep notes, but it was so good. And I even liked it a bit more than Kona. And I only tried it because the woman in the coffee shop suggested it because it was her favorite coffee. And then from there, I start walking through town to the water to meet up with my husband. He got actual shrimp to catch fish, but he didn't catch any. They just ate the shrimp from him. And I ended up meeting him. I walked over to where he was fishing.
He actually stopped fishing and met me right before I was almost about to reach him. And he was covered in a crazy amount of sunscreen. So everything he touched turned white. I guess he didn't want to get burnt again.
So this time on the way back to our Airbnb, we got a fresh fish. It was fried.
Called Pahoa Fresh Fish.
And it was like this small little shop. And they only had three different combinations. It was either shrimp, mahi, ono. I think that was it. But we got the fried fish. It was really good. Very, very fresh. And then we got back to our room. And I wanted to go back to the beach. Like that day, it was raining a lot. It was kind of more stormy. But my husband's like, okay, let's go back to the beach. So we got down there and there were like five people fishing. And there was nobody in the water. I'm standing in front of the water, like these giant waves. And I'm thinking, is this a good idea? Because the waves were even bigger. I look back at my husband and he's like, you know, up to you. So I quickly just ran in. And this giant wave scooped me up and there was nobody else in the water. Like it was just me. And in that moment, I'm like, I don't know about this. Like, did I make the right choice? Because when the waves are that big and the surf is that high, like nobody was in there. And I guess a wave could have come with a current, you know, like a riptide and just pulled me out. I mean, luckily it didn't, but I mean, it was kind of a scary situation once I was in the water and I was like, I don't know about this. You know, I enjoyed it in that moment and I probably stayed in there for about 20 minutes, like kind of a while. But I looked back at the waves and I had to swim up. Like I was already at the top of the water, but the waves were that big with me in it that I had to swim up so that I didn't have a wave over me as I was already in the water. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of dangerous. And I start to leave out of the water. You know, I'm timing it so that I don't get this giant wave over me. But the current was so strong of the wave coming back into the water that I got pulled out. And then this giant wave came up behind me. That I'm like, okay, this is like dangerous now, you know? So I quickly got to the top of the wave and just quickly tried to walk out. And it was a bit difficult, but I did it. And then I told my husband, like, I almost died. And he's like, no, you did not. But I'm like, it was kind of scary. He's like, yeah, I was surprised you went into the water. But nothing happened, and you know, and then I just sat and watched the water because this was our last day there. Like this was going to be our last night. So the next day we had to leave and drive back to the other side to Kona. And then that night we would fly back, you know, so we enjoyed the beach for the last time. And then we went back to the Airbnb. We ended up playing cards. We packed some. We went to bed. And then the next morning, we woke up early. It was Saturday. We packed all the rest of the stuff. We had breakfast. And then that morning, we made our way to the National Volcanoes Park. So that day was like very rainy. And the rain was making us like a little bit grumpy, you know, but the volcano attracts the rain. So it's hard actually to get to the volcano and have it not rain some. We drove about 2 hours to get to the volcano park. We paid the entrance fee. We get there. We're there early. So even before all the tourist buses. And then we stop at these different locations and they have steam coming out of the crater. Like, we're up by the crater, and the crater is huge.
It's 2.5 miles long and 2 miles wide.
And you see all these different areas with steam coming out. And we drive maybe like, I don't know, half around it. You know, we stop at these different points, like in between the rain. Luckily, like I said, there was this trail to see the lava flow. When we arrived the week prior, there was lava. And then the week after we left, there was lava. So we never actually got to see the live lava, which was a shame because I would have loved to see it. But we went out on this trail to kind of see more of the crater, which we couldn't from the car, you know, like the different spots by the road. So we took the trail and we walked. It was probably like a mile and a half, something like that. It took about, I want to say 15 to 20 minutes one way to get to this point in the crater. And you could only walk there. And they had this path kind of fenced off to get to the edge of the crater where you could see. And in that moment, there was this giant rainbow in the crater. It was beautiful. And then you could see all this steam and coming out of the crater. It was like pretty amazing. And then on our way back, we saw these rare birds which come there from Alaska every year to nest. And they're called Nene birds, like N-E-N-E. And we saw this little family just walking along. We get to this sulfur trail where there is like sulfur smoke and gas coming out of the crater, you know, and it's very interesting because it forms these crystals. There are these bright yellow crystals. But at that point, it had rained on and off so much, you know, that there was a lot to see. But the rain kind of dampened it a little bit. We even went to this big lava tube, which was underground. And they said it was 500 years old. You know, so we did kind of most of what there was to do at the National Volcanoes Park. And then we're like, okay, let's leave. And then we made our way back to the Kona side. But instead of driving through the middle of the island, we drove along the coast, which was really pretty, like visually, you know, there was a rocky coast and some parts were drier than others, like as far as jungle. We decided, okay, we want to swim in a beach again, the one when we arrived, you know, like that perfect blue beach. So we drove an extra like 40 minutes out of the way just to swim in that beach. Because that night we had to fly back. Like, we had just put everything in our car. It was funny because on the other side, on the Hilo side, there was a lot of rain. But once we got back to Kona, there was no rain. You know, so we were like, oh, thank God, like some sun. Because for 3 days it was on and off rain and it was cooler. You know, but on the Kona side, it was just more dry, kind of lava fields, you know, and the clouds weren't going that way. So we went swimming one more time in the water. We were probably there for like an hour and a half. And then we decided, okay, let's have our last meal. And we had poke. We found this really delicious restaurant. It was called Umeki's Fish Market Bar and Grill. And the poke there was just so tender and perfect. And they have it in little scoops. So I got the shoyu poke with like brown rice. It was so good. It was like, Ugh, it was just so delicious. And that was our last meal, you know, and then we like sat there and there was pretty much time almost to get to the airport. Then that night we drop off the rental and now we just have our luggage. The shuttle takes us back to the airport, or the outdoor airport. And the line was wrapping around the airport on the outside. Apparently everybody decided to fly back Saturday evening. Even the airport attendant said, like, this is not normal. Like, this was kind of a crazy night. So it's good. Like, we got there about 2.5 hours early, but it was good because it was so crazy. Like, we were in line for over an hour just to get through security. Then we get through, and then it's just like chaos because everybody wants to fly. But these flights are delayed and we didn't even have a seat assigned. So I had to go up to the counter and we stood in line for like 40 minutes. And as we're standing in line, other planes are starting to load, you know, and then they had to go through security again because you can't bring fruits or vegetables back to the mainland. So they scanned your luggage again to make sure you didn't have any fruit. So then we finally got our seat assigned and it turns out it's the last seat on the plane right behind the bathrooms, which is the same seat that Rodolfo and I met on, except the other side. You know, I guess when we met, we were on side A, B, C, like A and B, and this time we were on D, E. But this time, the seat was terrible. Like, it was terrible then, you know, but it was a short flight. Like, this was a 6-hour flight, and there was no space, because when you're in the last seat, you can't bring your seat back. And it was just terrible. Like, it was an awful flight, and it was a night flight. So I couldn't really sleep. I had no space. You know, I had my backpack where my feet were. It was like so bad. But we finally depart and we depart late. It was like 1 hour and 20 minutes delayed. And the thing is, it didn't even fly straight to San Diego. It flew to Seattle. And then we get there in the morning. And then in Seattle, we had to wait like 2.5 hours. We were just like tired and kind of grumpy. And then we land in San Diego finally. Like, it was kind of just so out of the way, you know, like from Hawaii to Seattle and then from Seattle to San Diego. And once we got home, it was just so nice to be home. That was our trip to Hawaii, you know, and it was our honeymoon trip because we never had a honeymoon after we got married. So it was nice that we were finally able to do that. But it was always nice to come back home, but the trip was really perfect. You know, we saw a lot in a few days. And I think we'd like to go back to Hawaii, like maybe a different island. Like, over the years, I had visited all the islands except for the Big Island. But it's been so long that I visit the other ones. I think there's always time to see something, you know, another island.
And usually my episode comes out on Tuesday, but guess what happened on Tuesday? My computer broke down. So great. That's another thing. And I'll save that for the next episode. So thank you for listening. I hope this was somewhat interesting and maybe would make you want to go to the Big Island. I'll add some links of all the places that I went and all the great restaurants that we ate poke at. Thank you so much. I'm Chef KB. Until next time, thank you for listening to Cat the Baker.